left tone index. A single long tone indicates the section or chapter heading. A double tone, after. A single short tone indicates a subheading. To find a section which is new from previous revisions of the manual, listen for a short triple tone. To skip any remaining announcements, place the cassette player and fast forward until a beep is heard. Stop at that point to hear the beginning of the book. Table of Contents. About this manual. Introduction. Section 1, the basic. Chapter 1, getting started. 1.1, the first time out. New. 1.2, the concept of files and folders. New. 1.3, the Bell-like memory. 1.4, how to use the commands. 1.5, the concept of memories. 1.5.1, the options menu. New. 1.5.2, the status menu. New. 1.5.3, how to handle the built-in battery. 1.5.4, reversing the advance bar. 1.5.5, the parameters menu. Chapter 2. Making the Braille light talk the way you want. 2.1, volume, speech rate, pitch, and tone. New. 2.2, announcement of punctuation and numbers. New. 2.3, multiple voice settings. 2.4, using the Braille display instead of the voice. 2.5, the concept of toggling. Section 2, working with your files. Chapter 3, reading your files. 3.1, the cursor. 3.1.1, displaying the cursor. New. 3.2, navigating through a file. New. 3.2.1, moving by blocks of text. New. 3.2.2, moving by relative blocks of text. New. 3.2.3, the text counter. 3.3, reading blocks of text. 3.3.1, scrolling the Braille display. 3.3.2, defining blocks of text. 3.3.3, having the voice spell out words. 3.4, some tips on reading. 3.4.1, the automatic Braille translator. 3.4.2, special types of characters. 3.4.3, displaying special characters. 3.5, searching for text in a file. 3.5.1, the location of the cursor. 3.5.2, finding text. 3.5.3, place sensitive searches for text. Chapter 4, writing in your files. 4.1, the files menu. New. 4.2, creating a file. 4.3, where is the cursor? 4.4, room left in your file. 4.5, getting help. 4.6, writing text in your file. 4.7, writing control characters into a file. 4.8, word wrapping on a Braille display. New. 4.9, writing repeated character strings. 4.10, formatting text. 4.10.1, setting and adjusting margin. 4.10.2, formatting and a status menu. 4.10.3, document layout. 4.10.4, changing the appearance of street text. 4.10.5, inserting a timestamp on a printed document. 4.10.6, skipping blocks of text to print. 4.11, selecting your writing mode. Chapter 5, editing text. 5.1, overwriting text. 5.2, backspacing and rubbing out a character. New. 5.3, deleting text. 5.4, inserting text. New. 5.5, copying text into your file. 5.6, deleting blocks of text. 5.7, find and replace text. Chapter 6, manipulating files. New, 6.1, exploring the file command menu. 6.2, listing your files. New, 6.3, navigating through your files. 6.4, opening an existing file. New, 6.5, opening an existing file by its number. 6.6, renaming a file. 6.7, write protecting and unprotecting a file. 6.8, deleting files. 6.9, changing the size of a file. New, 6.10, copying an entire file into the currently open file. New, 6.11, free space in the braille light. New, 6.12, working with folder. New, 6.12.1, running in folder mode. New, 6.12.2, navigating through folders. New, 6.12.3, creating a folder. New, 6.12.4, moving a file into a folder. New, 6.12.5, moving groups of files into a folder. New, 6.12.6, opening a file in a different folder. New, 6.12.7, moving files between RAM and flash. New, 6.12.8, changing the name of a folder. New, 6.12.9, deleting a folder. Section 3, working with other tools. Chapter 7, the clock and the calendar. New, 7.1, the clock. New, 7.1.1, the current time. New, 7.1.2, switching between American and European time. New, 7.1.3, setting the time. New, 7.1.4, changing the time. 7.1.5, hourly announcement of time. New, 7.1.6, the alarm. 7.2, the calendar. 7.2.1, setting today's date. New, 7.2.2, setting today's date. 7.2.3, getting a date from the calendar. 7.2.4, inserting a date into your calendar. 7.2.5, calendar alert. 7.3, information about your files. Chapter 8, the stopwatch and the timer. 8.1, the stopwatch. 8.1.1, starting and stopping the stopwatch. 8.1.2, reading elapsed time by voice. 8.1.3, stopping and resetting the stopwatch. 8.2, the timer. 8.2.1, finding out time remaining. 8.2.2, timing in the background. Chapter 9, the calculator. 9.1, basic operations. 9.2, setting precision. 9.3, inserting calculation results into a file. 9.4, performing percentage calculations. 9.5, storing and using the memory location. 9.6, extracting a square root. New, 9.7, complex functions. 9.8, error messages and tips. Chapter 10, other helpful features. 10.1, word exceptions. 10.2, the one-handed braille light. 10.3, review-only mode. Chapter 11, macros. 11.1, what's a macro anyway? 11.2, recording a macro. 11.3, playing an existing macro. 11.4, happy check a macro. 11.5, pausing a macro. 11.6, right protecting macros. 11.7, adding your own messages to macro. New 11.8, startup macros. Chapter 12, the cell checker. 12.1, running the cell checker. 12.2, adding a word to your personal dictionary. 12.3, bypassing a word for the rest of the document. 12.4, reading a word in context. 12.5, correcting a word. 12.6, repeating a word. 12.7, overlooking a word. 12.8, suggested replacement words. Section 4, conversing with other devices. Chapter 13, introducing telecommunications and settings. 13.1, tables. 13.1.1, serial versus parallel. New, 13.1.2, gender. 13.1.3, number of pins. 13.1.4, null modem cable requirement. 13.2, telecommunication settings. 13.2.1, baud rate. 13.2.2, parity. 13.2.3, different. 13.2.4, beta bit. 13.2.5, stop bit. 13.2.6, handshaking. 13.2.7, the interactive mode. 13.2.8, rejecting ornamentation. Chapter 14, the portable disk drive. 14.1, how to operate the disk drive. 14.2, retrieving a file from disk. 14.3, saving a file to disk. 14.4, transmitting text files or applications. 14.4.1, sending files to the disk drive. 14.4.2, receiving files from the disk drive. 14.5, adding an application to the Braille light. 14.6, reading a directory from a disk. Chapter 15, printers, modems, and computers. 15.1, transmission configuration. 15.1.1, activating a serial port. 15.1.2, appending line feed. 15.2, physical page format consideration. 15.2.1, printing text without translating. 15.2.2, finding out what page is being printed. 15.2.3, transmitting a portion of a document. 15.2.4, double spacing a document on the fly. 15.2.5, previewing text before printing. New, 15.3, sending blocks of text to another device. 15.4, modems and other computers. 15.5, using sophisticated modem protocols in transmission. New, 15.6, the Braille light as a speech synthesizer. 15.7, sending Braille light output to your computer screen. Chapter 16, running external programs. New, 16.1, updating your Braille light 2000. New, 16.2, the bilingual Braille light. Appendix A, commonly asked questions. Telecommunications questions. New internet connection questions. Printing questions. Crashing recovery questions. Braille translation questions. Braille display questions. New RAM and flash questions. Miscellaneous questions. Appendix B, quick reference. Speech parameters menu. Braille display command. Draw command. Entering text. Cursor movement and speaking a text. Finding, replacing, deleting, and inserting text. Formatting text. clock and calendar. Stopwatch, countdown timer. Scientific calculator. Macros. Belt mix function. Disk drive function. Transmitting data. Options menu. Parameters menu. Status menu default settings. Miscellaneous commands. Appendix C, technical data about ports. Appendix D, active bail symbol. Appendix E, ship target menu. About this manual. For those of you who already had some revision of the Braille Light or Braille Institute and know how to use many of its features, you'll find the Braille Light 2000 has many new exciting improvements. In particular, if you have just upgraded from the 1996 revision of the Braille Light 18, we've revised the 1995 Braille Light User Guide to include all the features in the Braille Light 2000, which is the focus of this manual. If you're a Braille Light or Braille Institute veteran, you'll find it easy to get acquainted with the new features in the Braille Light 2000. A section heading or paragraph preceded by an asterisk or star is new. Check the table of contents to see where they are. Don't be fooled by a section's name. For example, the section on getting the Braille Light to talk the way you want contains new information, and so we highlighted it with an asterisk. Therefore, even if you already know how to use the speech parameters menu in your unit, check this section out because we've added some features. This manual is your roadmap as you explore the Braille Light modes, features, and functions. In each chapter, we discuss commands and the tasks they perform, and we provide you with detailed examples of how to apply them in your daily life. Each chapter focuses on a specific topic area and takes you through all of the commands related to that topic in detail. Here is a key to the map. Introduction. Tells you what a Braille Light is. Section 1, the basics, explains what to do the first time you take the Braille Light out of the box. Section 2, working with your files, walks you slowly and painlessly through reading, writing, and manipulating files. Section 3, working with other tools, tours the Braille Light calendar, calculator, stopwatch, timer, and much more with real-life examples. Section 4, conversing with other devices. Demystifies the complicated business of file transfers, printing considerations, the external disk drive, and external programs, all in simple language, minus the technobabble you usually find in discussions of telecommunications. Appendix A, commonly asked questions. Answers commonly asked questions about printing, file recovery, file transfers, and the like. Appendix B, quick reference. Lists by subject all Braille Light commands. Appendix C, technical data about ports. Provides technical specifications for linking the Braille Light to non-standard devices. Appendix D, active Braille symbols. Provides a complete table for the ASCII character set in computer Braille. Appendix E, which charger to use, explains what chargers work with the various models of the Braille Institute, the Braille Light, and the portable disk drive to help you prevent accidentally damaging your unit by plugging the wrong charger into it. By the time you finish exploring the Braille Light universe, you'll wonder how you managed without it. Introduction. What is a Braille Light? A Braille Light is a computer that lets you write in Braille and responds to you with speech and or with Braille. It translates grade 2 or grade 1 Braille text, even computer Braille text, into spoken words through its built-in speech synthesizer. And it can display Braille text on its refreshable Braille display. weighing about 2 pounds and having its own internal rechargeable battery and storage, this powerful computer can access your notebook, your Rolodex, your calendar, your calculator, your stopwatch, your timer, and much more. You can use the Braille light comfortably and unobtrusively at a meeting, on a street corner, or a subway, just as anyone uses a pencil and notepad. And chances are you won't run out of room because the unit can store a lot of information. The Braille Light 2000 can store the equivalent of about 740 physical pages of Braille in its random access memory area, or 768 kilobytes, and over 1800 physical pages worth in flash memory, or 2 megabytes. We'll discuss the new flash memory in detail in section 1.3. The Braille Light can talk with other computers, whether it's to store information on a disk or retrieve it for you to read later, or whether it's to print files with an ink printer or braille them with a braille embosser. New. Using an external modem and your telephone, the Braille Light links you to a wealth of information over services such as the internet, news, shopping, research, conversation with other computer users, and so on. If you have a personal computer with a free access program, ASAP, JAWS, or Vocalize, just to name a few popular ones, you can turn your Braille Light into a portable speech synthesizer through its speech box mode. And you can use its Braille display to check your computer screen. This can come in handy if you're on the go a lot and want to minimize the view you carry, or you suddenly have to access the computer at a colleague's desk in a hurry. It's much easier to carry a floppy with your screen access program on it and your Braille Light than to carry around an extra speech synthesizer or a hefty Braille display device. So let's get started. Section 1, the basics. News. Introduction. This section covers very basic information about the Braille Light, what it looks like, what to expect when you turn it on for the first time, how to set up the voice to your liking, how to read with the Braille display, and how to navigate around the menu system. If you're already generally familiar with how to operate your Braille Light, you may wish to skim most of this section, but we do recommend you read the part marked with an asterisk so you don't miss out on any new features or information about your unit. Let's start by giving the Braille Light a physical to see what it looks like and to learn the basics about its use. The Braille Light is about the size of a video cassette and about twice its height. Its keyboard consists of the standard 7-key layout of a Perkins-style Braille writer, and it has an 18-cell Braille display. The rubber feet on its bottom prevent the machine from sliding around as you work. Place the unit in front of you with the Braille display closest to you. With the unit turned off, the Braille display looks like a row of grid 2 Braille 4 signs, FOR signs, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Looking at the Braille Light with the Braille display closest to you, just notice the long bar immediately in back of the Braille display. This is the advanced bar, and we'll be using it a lot to move the Braille shown on the display at any given time. You can't confuse the advanced bar with the space bar because the space bar on the Braille Light feels just like the one on your standard Perkins-style Braille writer. In fact, feel in back and slightly above the advanced bar on the Braille Light and you'll find the 7-key Perkins-style Braille writer setup with which you're probably already familiar. If you have a Braille in speech or have ever worked with one, you'll quickly see that the Braille Light is very much like it, except that it's a little heavier, taller, and bigger from front to back than the Braille and speech to accommodate the Braille display. If you've ever worked with a refreshable braille display device, for example, Telesensory's VersaBraille, or Navigator, or HumanWare's Alva, or MiniBraille, the concept of a movable or refreshable braille display and the advanced bar will be familiar. But we'll assume that you may have no experience with such a device and spend a little time explaining the concept. New. At first, it may seem that having 18 cells of braille displayed at a time is not very practical. In fact, most of the refreshable braille display devices today show up to 40 or even 80 cells of braille at a time. Our own Braille Light 40, for instance, has a 40-cell braille display. But this 18-cell version is less costly than the Braille Light 40 and is suitable for most situations. The advanced bar moves the braille instantly for you, and you'll find that not having physically to slide your hands very much while reading can be a plus. The Braille Light display can show either 6-dot or 8-dot braille. 8-dot braille can be handy, especially when reading computer braille and for keeping track of where you're writing, as we'll see later. The display can hold up to 18 cells of braille at a time, but you can control whether it does indeed show that many at a time. You may find it more practical to have the display show characters only up to the end of a line of text, or to have the display not break up words at odd places, and so on. We'll get into all these details in due course. For now, just be aware that you have a great deal of control over how the display actually shows you to braille, and even whether it shows you braille at all. Yes, there are times you may even wish to turn it off. Now, let's continue examining the braille light itself. Find the right corner closest to you and slide your finger toward the back of the unit. About halfway, you'll find the on-off rocker switch. To turn the braille light on, rock the switch away from you. To turn it off, rock it toward you. Immediately in back of the on-off rocker switch is an earphone jack. You can use this jack to connect your braille light to an external speaker or a pass cord to send the braille light's voice output to a tape recorder. Now find the left corner of the unit closest to you. Slide your finger toward the back of the machine and find an indented rectangular opening along the left side. Feel carefully within this opening and notice the two round DIN, D-I-N, ports with tiny little holes in them. They feel virtually identical, one toward the front of the rectangular opening and the other toward the back, and they're separated by two vertical bars that are practically flush with the ports themselves. In fact, the ports perform the same function. They are both used to connect the braille light to other devices. The cable that came with the braille light can be plugged into either of the ports and act as a serial port to connect you to another braille light, a braille and speech, a computer, a modem, a printer, and even Lazy Engineering's own portable disk drive peripheral. See Chapter 13 for detailed information about connecting your unit to other devices, and see Chapter 14 for details on connecting the portable disk drive. New. In back of the rectangular opening for the two ports is the input jack for the AC power supply battery charger. Directly under the rectangular opening for the two ports and the AC jack is the larger port with a lot of tiny holes in it. This is the female parallel port that you can use to connect your braille light directly to a printer that uses that type of connection. We'll talk about printers in detail in Section 4. New. Warning. When charging the Braille Life built-in battery, you should use the 12-volt charger supplied with the unit. Do not use an old 9-volt charger you may have lying around from a previous version of the Braille Institute. See Appendix E for information about chargers. Substituting another transformer which looks or feels like the correct one, but which has the incorrect voltage requirement, could destroy chips or other critical parts of the unit. If you have access to a Braille Instinct or a portable disk drive whose charger is 12 volts, you can now substitute that 12-volt charger for the Braille Light charger. They are all interchangeable. Under normal usage, your fully charged Braille Light functions properly under battery power for up to 30 hours, and it only takes about 2 to 4 hours to fully charge a Braille Light. However, the length of time a Braille Light can function under battery power varies according to how you use it. For example, to use the Braille Light to communicate with another computer, you must activate the serial port. Heavy use of the serial port with the Braille Light on battery power rather than on AC drains the battery more quickly. Note: although we offer an emergency cable that lets you power the Braille Instinct from an external battery in case you can't charge your battery immediately, this emergency cable is not available for the Braille Light. Also, if the Braille Light 2000 is an upgrade for you, it's critical that you check out Appendix E, which tells it to you, for details about which models of the Braille Light work with which chargers. There is a very handy safety feature on the Braille Light relevant to battery usage. The Braille Light warns you when the battery starts getting low and continues to warn you every time you press a key until you take action. Experiment with your individual machine to see how much time it actually operates after the battery low message first occurs. Operating your Braille Light for too long at a low voltage condition may cause the scrambling of data stored in the machine. Should this happen, you may be able to recover the data, as you'll see later. If you do decide to experiment with the length of battery usage and the data, don't have any data you desperately need to keep, at least not until you're familiar with how to recover data on the Braille Light. The Braille Light comes fully charged from the factory, but eventually you'll need to recharge the battery. Once you have done so, you must remember to set the battery use timer. We'll show you how to do that shortly. The optimal way to use the Braille Light is to keep it turned off most of the time, when you are not actually doing something with it. In other words, if you are not reading, writing, computing, or transmitting data, keep the unit turned off. The great thing is that turning it off does not erase your data, and turning it back on instantly places you wherever you last stopped. In fact, the Braille Light does not like to be ignored. It reminds you by voice and on its Braille display that it is still turned on with a hello message if you have not pressed a key within 5 minutes. And it continues to try to get your attention in this way until you react, either by pressing a key or by turning off the unit. If you should have the Braille Light's voice turned off and be working only with the Braille display, you'll hear a beep instead of seeing the word hello as a reminder. Now, let's go to work. Chapter 1, Getting Started. One, the first time out. Before we do anything else with the Braille Light, let's learn how to use the advance bar. It is critical at the outset that you understand how the advance bar works to avoid confusion between what the Braille Light speaks and what it displays. Recall that the advanced bar is the long bar located between the braille display and the person-style keyboard. Tapping the right end of the advanced bar moves the braille display forward. Tapping the left end of the advanced bar moves the braille display backward. Just how much forward or backward the braille display moves may vary slightly, depending on how you have the unit set. When it comes from the factory, the display will show you as many as 18 characters at a time. By the way, in computer land, faces are characters too. If possible, the braille light will try not to break up words in the middle. It will show you something like 105 East, followed by what appears to be a bunch of empty cells or spaces, and then Garrettsville. When you tap the advance bar forward, rather than showing you part of the word Garrettsville before you tap the advance bar and the rest after you tap it again to move the display. Of course, there may be times when you do want the display to show you as much as possible at a time, and we'll show you how to do that eventually. When you do want both speech and braille turned on, you will often experience a slight difference between the two, which at first may seem confusing. Since speech is not restricted to the 18-character limit of the braille display, the braille light's voice will frequently race ahead of the braille display. No problem. Simply tap the advance bar as many times as necessary to read the entire message that has just been spoken. Even if you're in the middle of reading a file, if you have the braille display and the speech both turned on, and you issue a command, the braille light will, of course, speak and display any prompts related to the command. Such prompts or messages are never entered into your file by the braille light automatically. The unit merely lets you read the message by allowing you to tap the advance bar as many times as you need in order to read the entire message, and then returns you to whatever you were reading. The way the braille light displays certain messages varies slightly from what you hear, however. As you go through this manual, you'll point out where these variations occur. For the most part, when a message on the braille display is different from that which is spoken, it is because we wanted to give you as much information as possible within the 18-character limit, and chose to truncate some messages on the braille display accordingly. For example, instead of prompting you that a file has 12 pages and spelling out the 12 or the word pages, the braille light displays 12P, even though it's each 12 pages. Messages and prompts on the braille display are either in grade 1 braille or computer braille. From the factory, the braille light is set to display prompts and messages in grade 1 braille. But we'll show you how to change this should you prefer messages and prompts in computer braille. Again, don't worry too much right now if all this seems bewildering and unwieldy. It really isn't, because the advance bar moves the braille virtually instantaneously, probably faster than you could move your hand to read the next line of a physical braille page. In any case, at first, we'll walk you through reading any prompts that are longer than 18 characters on the braille display, and we'll always specify exactly how prompts that are truncated on the braille display differ from spoken ones. For the sake of clarity, the first few times we ask you to look at the display, we'll tell you specifically how many times you need to tap the advance bar to see the entire message. After a while, though, we'll assume that you understand that when a message is longer than 18 characters, you need to tap the advance bar to see the entire message displayed. So, we'll mostly continue to use the words "amount" and "says" when referring to braille light prompts. We'll assume you have both braille and speech turned on, unless we specifically ask you to turn one or the other off. Since the rail display can operate slightly differently since it is turned off altogether, we'll show you how that works in Section 2, in a part called Scrolling the Rail Display. Move. Once you're comfortable with the braille light, or if you're in a setting where the braille light's verbal startup prompt might disturb a meeting, for example, you might choose to start up your braille light silently. To do this, simply hold down the space bar as you turn on the unit. A click indicates that the braille light is ready for use. And if you had speech turned off already from a previous session, pressing the space bar as you power up the unit won't turn on the speech, as in the case of earlier revisions of the braille light. Now, here are a couple of ways to power up the braille light. You don't have to have the voice and the display on at the same time. For example, if you had speech on in your last session, but now want to turn on the braille light with the voice off and only the braille display on, hold down the braille dot for the letter D as you turn on the unit. Conversely, if you want to start the braille light with the braille display off and only the voice on, hold down the braille dot for the letter S while you turn on the unit. For the moment, though, we'll recommend you refrain from playing around with powering up your braille light using some of these techniques. We still haven't talked about how you can reverse these settings when the braille light is turned on. Now, let's assume you're starting from scratch with the braille light set up as it comes straight from the factory. Turn the braille light on by flipping the on-off rocker switch away from you. The unit says, "Braille light ready, help is open." If this does not happen, flip the rocker switch back toward you to the off position and plug the AC power supply battery charger into the AC jack and flip the switch on again. You can then hear the announcement, "Braille light ready, help is open." 0, help, 22339. The number after the name of the file may vary slightly on your unit, depending on how recent your update is. Ironically, you already have more information on the braille display than what's broken in this case. What your braille display stopped on is information about this file that is currently open. Its number in the braille light file numbering system, which we'll talk about in Section 2, the file's name, and its size in terms of the number of characters in the file. All of these pieces of information will be explained in Section 2 in great detail. For now, let's just see what happens if you tap the advanced bar on the braille display. Tap the right end of the advanced bar, and you'll instantly see Braille Light 2000, help. Press it again to see file, writing, and again to see functions. In fact, if you wish, you can keep tapping the right end of the advanced bar and continue reading. You're way ahead of Braille and Speech users who are still waiting to find out about how to work with the Braille and Speech voice and how to get the Braille and Speech to read anything. Go ahead and move the display backward by tapping the left end of the advanced bar. Eventually, you'll see top of file, which obviously means that you're back at the beginning of the file. Notice that while you've been moving about with the advanced bar, the braille light has not spoken again. For that, you'll have to read the next chapter in this section, and the first chapter of Section 2 that shows you how to work with the braille light's voice. Let's continue now with learning about files. Move. 1.2, the concept of files and folders. Think of the railroad, as it comes from the factory, as a nearly empty three-way binder, just waiting for you to fill it with your own personal data. Usually a three-ring binder comes with tabs or separators of some kind to indicate the start of a new section in the binder. Each tagged section, then, can be considered a distinct file. And in fact, with so much storage capacity in the Braille Light 2000, you're really not limited to just one binder of files, so to speak. There's no reason why you can't have a number of binders or folders to contain groups of files you want to keep together. We'll discuss the new folders capability of the Braille Light at length in section 6.12. For now, just be aware that you'll be able to store your files and programs in folders, so you can keep them organized to your liking. The Braille Light comes with a number of files ready for your use. The number of files may vary, depending on whether we have included files that contain the latest update information and so on. But there are some files that are permanently stored in the Braille Light from the factory. The help file contains a summary of the commands you use to operate the Braille Light. The clipboard file is like a blank scratch pad or crack pen, more on this later. Although not a permanent file, we include a file called calendar.brl, which is ready for you to cram with your busy schedule. Note, if you have upgraded your unit to a Braille Light 2000, you may have added to it your old calendar file that did not have the .brl extension. Not to worry, the calendar alert feature in the new Braille Light will still recognize your calendar file and work properly. Read more about .brl, .dfm, and .erf extensions in section 4.2. Another file we often include for your convenience, but which is not permanent, is the Spelling Dictionary Program file. It is a file called spell.dic. Unlike the Help, Clipboard, and Calendar files, whose contents you can actually read, the spell.dic file is a program file. In other words, this is a file that contains a program the Braille Light can access to help you do spell checking, rather than a file that you can read yourself. We'll talk about the spell checking commands in detail in Chapter 12. The Spelling Dictionary does take up a considerable chunk of space in the Braille Light RAM memory, however, so you may choose to move it off into the flash portion of your unit's memory, or remove it altogether from your unit. Another program file that may come on your Braille Light from the factory is the bsname.bns program file. Again, this is the file the Braille Light can access, not you. It works with the flash ROM capability of your Braille Light. Your machine's serial number is already branded into its flash ROM read-only memory. And the bsname.bns program lets you brand your name into your Braille Light permanently. We'll talk about how to run external programs like this one in detail in Chapter 16. Notice that we've now used the terms flash and RAM to refer to the memory in your unit. In the next section, we'll discuss what these terms mean and how you can use the expanded memory capabilities in your machine to store and work with a much larger amount of material than ever before. The Braille Light's memory. We at Blazer Engineering appreciate how challenging it would be to part with your Braille Light whenever you wish to take advantage of the new features in our latest releases. Now, your unit is equipped with the capability of letting you update your unit yourself. This is called Flash ROM. read-only memory. Check out section 16.1 to see how to update your unit to the latest software release. Now, what's this talk about RAM and flash all about? In the introduction to this manual, we mentioned that your Braille light can store up to the equivalent of 740 pages of Braille in RAM and over 1800 in flash memory. That's a lot for such a tiny device. What does this mean and how does it work? What we've done is provide you with 768 kilobytes of RAM and an access memory space where you can edit your files and run external programs, and in addition, another 2 megabytes of flash memory where you can store files you just want to read or edit later, and programs while you're not running them. Don't confuse the term superflash ROM, which is the Braille Light's ability to allow you to update its software and brand your personal name into it, with flash memory. Here, we're simply talking about an area of memory in your unit where your files can be stored, so you can read them, or stored for safekeeping until you need to edit them, or run them, if they are program files. As you'll see in section 6.12, the process of moving files between RAM and flash is quite easy and quick. Now, let's continue learning how to use the basic features of the Braille Light. As we said earlier, when you start up the Braille Light for the first time, after the announcement, Braille Light ready, you hear the prompt, help is open. Also remember that whenever you turn it off, the Braille Light keeps your place for you, wherever you had stopped in a file. When you turn it on, it reminds you where you left off by announcing the name of the file you left open. Since this is your first time out, the Braille Light announces that you have the text file open. All of the Braille Light's commands are produced by chording. If you've ever played a piano or other keyboard instrument, you know that a chord refers to any 2 or more keys pressed together. Isn't that what you do anyway when you Braille, you might ask? Yes, but for our purposes, chording means pressing any combination of the Braille dots along with the space bar. So, for example, if we say, press the L chord, we mean, press the space bar together with dots 1, 2, 3, the Braille letter L. Making sure to press all the keys simultaneously. Whenever we refer to a chord for a Braille symbol other than a letter of the alphabet, we will write out the exact dot to be pressed in parentheses for clarity. So, for example, when referring to an AR sign in grade 2 Braille, we will also write out dots 3, 4, 5 in parentheses. There are several levels of commands in the Braille Light. Commands for bringing up menus of options, commands for navigating to your files and for performing various editing functions within those files, and commands for utilizing the Braille Light's built-in tools, such as running a stopwatch or storing to a floppy disk or computing a formula. We'll get to each of these in separate chapters. For now, let's just stick to the basic commands you need to get started. The Braille Light is pretty forgiving when it comes to aborting a command procedure. You usually press an E chord to enter or execute a command, but most of the time, if you change your mind in mid-stream, you can cancel the process with a Z chord. Depending on what you are doing, the Braille Light responds to an E chord by either performing a command or by exiting a menu that you have entered. More on this later. But if you do halt the command procedure with a Z chord, the Braille Light announces, abort. Point 5, the concept of menus. As As we mentioned above, the Braille light has a set of commands for working with menus. Just as a restaurant menu offers the choices of food, menus on a computer offers new choices of functions to perform. And a submenu offers more levels of choice. Continuing our restaurant menu analogy, let's say that the major menu is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then if you pick the dinner menu, you'll see choices for appetizers, entrees, desserts, and beverages. Clearly, you'll then need to check out each of those sets of choices for which appetizer, entree, and beverage you want. And if you're very good, you'll skip the set of dessert choices. The Braille light menu system works very much like a restaurant menu. Basically, there is an options menu, a seat parameters menu, a status menu, and a parameters menu. Like the dessert menu, each menu in the Braille light provides you with choices of its own. For example, from the options menu, you have choices like calendar check, file command, calculator, stopwatch, and spell check, as well as many others. Some of the menus are for performing functions and issuing commands. Some, like the status menu, are for setting things to work to your specifications, like turning a setting on and off or switching among a setting's various modes. You can navigate through all the choices in a Braille light menu quite easily. When you issue a command that brings up a set of choices, you can either write a specific letter that selects the choice you want, or you can cycle through the choices till you find the specific one you want. You move forward through the choices with a .4 chord, backward with a .1 chord. To move to the first choice in a menu, press an L chord, and to move to the last choice, press a .456 chord. Of course, the Braille display shows you the choices as the voice speaks them. To hear the current choice repeated, press a C chord. Once you hear the choice you want, you press an E chord to select it. Sometimes doing so brings up another set of choices, or a submenu. We'll show you those types of menus in section 2. For now, let's look at 3 of the major menus in the Braille light. The options menu. The options menu is one of the most important menus in the Braille light. You'll be using it a lot. And after a short time, you probably won't need to cycle through its choices. You'll just know them automatically. But since we're just starting out, let's show you how to browse through these choices. We'll only cycle through the choices at this time, not select any to work with in particular. From the help file that you currently have open, press an O chord to bring up the options menu. The Braille light says, options. Press a C chord to hear the current choice. The Braille light should say, calendar check. Go ahead and press .4 chords and .1 chords to hear the numerous choices in this menu. The last choice you'll hear is execute program. If you press another .4 chord after hearing that choice, you'll simply hear a click to let you know you're at the end of the choices. Likewise, if you press a .1 chord at the top of the list of choices, you'll hear a click to let you know you're at the beginning of the choices. Press L chords and .456 chords to jump to and from the first and last choices in the menu. Stop somewhere in the middle of the choices and press a C chord to hear the current choice spoken again. Though it may be tempting, try to refrain from pressing an E chord on any of the choices, since we haven't talked about any of them in detail. But if you're adventurous and happen to press an E chord on a choice, you can always get out of trouble fast by pressing a Z chord. Doing so brings you back to your file, wherever you had stopped. In our case, that's the help file, and you should be right at the beginning of the file. Move 1.5.2, the status menu. The status menu contains information about the status of your study in the Braille light. In this menu, you'll find selections such as format parameters, serial parameters, and so on. Don't worry about these terms right now. Let's just skim through the choices on the status menu for practice. Bring up the status menu from wherever you are by pressing an SP sign chord, dot, 3-4 chord. You should hear status menu interactive on. The display shows you interactive on. Move around through the choices by pressing dot 4 chords and dot 1 chords. Or use the advanced bar to move through the choices by tapping the right end to move forward and the left end to move backwards through the menu. There are lots of choices, and it may get confusing to listen to and see so many settings that are unfamiliar. So jump to the last choice with a dot 4-5-6 chord. You should hear reverse advance off. Jump back to the first choice with an L chord or with another dot 4 chord. If you jump to the beginning of the choices with an L chord, or if you press a dot 1 chord repeatedly to bring you back to the beginning, pressing another dot 1 chord cycles you around to the last choice again. Stop somewhere in the middle and press a C chord to hear the current choice. You can get out of the status menu with an E chord or a G chord. When you're on a particular setting, it can be changed by writing a specific response, usually the letter Y to turn it on and the letter N to turn it off. If a setting has multiple options, you can cycle among them by pressing a space bar repeatedly until the Braille light speaks and displays the one you want, and then press an E chord to enter the status menu. But for the moment, we'll simply focus on cycling through the choices themselves, so these details aren't important. We'll discuss each and every choice on the status menu specifically as we learn about it. Another way to jump quickly to some of the major groups of settings in the status menu is to press dot 5-6 chord to move forward or dot 2-3 chord to move backward. These commands move you to the first setting in a major group, for example, from the first choice interactive on, to which you return with an L chord. If you move beyond it in your practice, press a dot 5-6 chord. You'll hear serial parameters, interactive on. Press the same command and hear miscellaneous parameters, Braille translator on. A third time brings you to format parameters, printer is Epson compatible. A fourth time shows Braille display parameters, Braille display on. And one more cycles you back to serial parameters, interactive on. Cycle backwards through these major groups with dot 2-3 chords. Again, this procedure simply jumps you to the first choice in a major group of choices to save you time as you cycle through this large menu. Of course, the fastest way of all to select a choice is to know what character to write that selects it. As we go through the choices in a status menu as they come up in this manual, we'll detail each choice and its corresponding character that selects it quickly. One nice thing about the status menu is that it remembers what setting you chose last and places you there the next time you enter the status menu. So for example, if you stop on battery use and then exit the status menu, the next time you enter the status menu, you'll be right there at that setting. And while we're here, it's a good time to show you two very important settings because they may affect you sooner than you might think. These are the battery use setting and the percent of charging setting. Move 1.5.3. How to handle the built-in battery. If you've upgraded your Braille light to the Braille Light 2000, take a look at Appendix E, its charger to use. Older models of the Braille and Speak use the charger with a lower voltage than the 12-volt charger we have always provided for the Braille light. is required to charge your Braille Light 2000 with the wrong charger, being a 9-volt charger for an older model of the Braille and Speak, you may end up with a non-working unit on your hands. So read through Appendix E carefully to see which charger to use in your particular situation. Recall that we said earlier how important it is to be aware of the length of time your battery has been running since you last charged your Braille Light. The Braille Light warns you when its battery is running low with a battery low method. But periodically, you should check what percentage of battery drain you have. Enter the status menu from wherever you are with an ST sign cord, dot 3-4 cord, and write an SH sign, dot 146. By the way, this happens to be the computer Braille symbol for percent. Depending on whether or not it is being charged when you enter the SH sign command, the Braille Light says and displays one of two possible messages. 100% not charging, or 8% charging. 100% not charging means just that. The Braille Light is either not plugged into an outlet, or it is plugged into an outlet, but is fully charged. X percent charging means that the Braille Light is plugged into an outlet and the battery is being charged. The closer the percentage is to 100, the closer the battery is to a full charge. You'll be able to watch the percentage rise on the display if you don't press an E cord to exit the status menu right away. When you have touched the status of battery drain, you can exit the status menu with the usual E cord. Once you recharge the battery, it's a good idea to go into the status menu and set the battery drain counter back to zero, so that you have an accurate reading of how well your unit is retaining its charge. Enter the status menu with an ST sign code, and then select the choice battery use by writing a TA sign, dot 1456, to bring you directly to the settings. A TA sign is computer Braille for question mark. The Braille Light says something like battery use 0 hours 10 minutes. Of course, the actual time depends on how long your unit has run since its last charge. We don't mean how much time has passed since you last turned on the unit, but how long it's been since the Braille Light was last charged. If you've just recharged the battery and want to bring the timer back to zero, press and drop to 0.356. The Braille Light says, reset battery timer, wire in. To reset the timer, write a Y for yes. You'll hear 0 hours, 0 minutes. If you don't want to reset the timer, just write an N. In either case, once you've made a choice, you can exit the status menu in the usual way with an E cord. Reversing the advance bar. As we saw in section 1.5.2, the last choice on the status menu is reverse advance, and it's set to off from the factory. Recall our description of what effect tapping the advance bar produces on the Braille display. Tapping the right end of the bar moves the Braille display forward up to 18 characters worth of text. Tapping the left end of the bar moves it backward. If you like, you can reverse this movement. Bring up the status menu, if you're not already there, with an ST sign cord, dot 3-4 cord. Now jump to the last setting with a dot 4-5-6 cord. You'll hear reverse advance off. Write a Y to reverse the setting. Then enter the status menu with an E cord. You should be back in the only file we have stored so far, the help file. Read through the help file with the advance bar, tapping each end of the advance bar to see which way the display moves. We think you'll see the display move forward when you tap the left end of the bar, and move backward when you tap the right end of the advance bar. Clearly, using the advance bar in reverse is a personal preference. Chances are, if you're right-handed, you'll probably want to change the setting back to off in the status menu. So tapping the right end of the advanced bar moves forward and tapping the left end moves backward. It's up to you. The parameters menu. The parameters menu works the same way as the options menu. From anywhere within your currently open file, enter the parameters menu with a key cord. The bell light says on display, enter parameters. Pressing through the numerous choices in this menu, forward with .4 cords and backwards with .1 cords. You can see the current choice with a key cord. Jump to the last choice with a .456 cord, and back to the first choice with an L cord. Many of the choices available in the parameters menu are also available in the status menu. The major difference between the two menus is that the status menu tells you how a setting is currently set, whereas the parameters menu simply expects you to change the setting. You select the setting to change by pressing an E cord. Then you'll see it and hear it spoken. For practice only, let's cycle through the settings. From your currently open file, the help file, press a key cord. At the prompt, enter parameters, press a key cord to hear the first choice. Add line field. Again, don't worry that you may not know what that means. You'll find out soon enough. Now, press .4 cords and .1 cords to cycle forward and backward through this menu. The last choice would be serial number. Since we don't really want to do anything in particular for now, just press a Z cord at any time to return to your currently open file, the help file. Should you press an E cord on a choice, don't fret. Again, just get out with a Z cord and nothing will happen. As we have pointed out in the beginning of this session on menus, we'll get into the specific choices of each menu when we need them as we learn how to use the features of the bell light. For now, just remember that when you first turn on the bell light, you'll always be in the last file you worked on, wherever you had left off in that file. If you want to do something from a menu, you have to issue a command to get to it. What's nice is that when you're finished using the menu, the bell light remembers to put you right back into your file, just where you last were, in that file. Now let's move on to setting up the bell light's voice to your taste. If you're used to listening to speech synthesizers, the factory settings may seem slow and cumbersome. You can change them to make the voice talk just as you like it. Chapter 2, Making the Bell Light Talk the Way You Want. Before we look at the files that come in the Bell Light from the factory, let's get the unit talking in the way that is most comfortable for you. You can adjust the speech in the Bell Light in several ways. Not only can you adjust the volume, the rate of speech, pitch, and tone of the voice, you can also adjust how the Bell Light handles the announcement of punctuation and numbers. To change any of these speech parameters, you need to bring up the speech parameters menu. Press AR sign cord .345 cord to open the speech parameters menu. The bell light prompts you with set speech parameters and waits for you to enter an option. Should you enter an option that the bell light does not recognize, it prompts you with invalid parameters and waits for you to try again. Exit this menu as you exit all menus in the bell light by pressing an E cord. Then the bell light says exit. On the bell display, you'll see set speech. Tap the advance bar to see parameters. If you happen to tap the advance bar again, you'll see invalid parameter. Because the prompt was only set speech parameters, and you have pressed a key that is not recognized by the speech parameters menu, namely the advance bar. The first time you tapped the advance bar, the speech parameters menu didn't pay attention, since the braille light could tell that you were reading a message on the braille display. But once you completed reading your message, the Braille Light Speech Parameters menu did take note that you tapped the advanced bar and let you know that it considered this an invalid choice. As you see, shortly, when you tap the advanced bar one time too many while reading a message, and you're working in a particular file, the Braille Light simply returns you to that file and does not say invalid parameters. It's only because you're in a menu right now that this message appears if you tap the advanced bar, or any other invalid key for that matter. Let's run through the options available in the speech parameters menu. Volume, speech rate, pitch, and tone. The speech parameters for volume, speech rate, pitch, and tone are easy to remember and to change. To make the Braille Light talk louder, press .4, faster, .5, and higher pitch voice, .6. With a higher tone, .56. Conversely, to make the Braille Light talk softer, press .1, slower, .2, and a lower pitch voice, .3. In a lower tone, .23. Each time you press one of the above dot commands, the Braille Light announces what you have done while producing the desired effect. So for example, when you press .4, the Braille Light says louder, in a louder voice. When you press .2, it says slower, in a slower voice, and so on. Naturally, there is a limit on how soft loud and how fast slow, and even how high or low you can make the voice. If you go too far in a softer direction for volume, for example, you'll stop hearing the Braille Light announce softer. Don't panic. Just press the .4 a couple of times to bring the volume back up to where you can hear it again. Notice that we have not said press .4 chord, .2 chord, or whatever. You are already in the menu since you pressed an AR sign chord. The Braille Light knows that you are in a menu. Until you press an E chord, the Braille Light thinks that any keys you press are attempts to make a choice in a speech parameters menu. Experiment with the volume, rate of speech, pitch, and tone to find a set of levels that is comfortable for you. The Braille Light remembers how you set these parameters and keeps the voice set just as you leave it when you enter the menu, and even after you turn off the unit and turn it on again. If you decide to return to the factory settings for speech, or anything else for that matter, there is a way to do that. We'll show you how later. Announcement of punctuation and numbers. Of course, changing the way the Braille Light's voice announces punctuation, mark, and changing how it announces numbers are both irrelevant issues in terms of the Braille display. However, as you'll see, you can also change how the Braille display shows you the contents of a file. We'll get into the specifics of how to control what the Braille display shows you in section 2. For now, let's just concentrate on the Braille Light's voice. Another set of speech parameters that you can change to your liking is the way the Braille Light's voice announces punctuation marks and numbers. To find out the current status of the punctuation settings, from the speech parameters menu, write a P, and you'll hear something like, current punctuation setting is no. If you just want to hear total announcement of punctuation marks, all of them, regardless of what and where they are, write the letter P, total punctuation. To hear most punctuation announced, write the letter M, and to hear only some punctuation, write the letter S. If you want to hear no punctuation announced whatsoever, write the letter V. Remember, none of these settings is permanent. You can change them at any time. The Braille Light has two options for pronouncing numbers. You may prefer to hear numbers spoken as digits or as full words. Write the letter N to switch between these two modes. For example, if you write the letter N and the Braille light says three full numbers, this means that when you are reading a number, the Braille light will say the number in words, like 2,000. If you write the letter N again from within the speech parameters menu, the Braille light prompts you with, say, digits. The next time you read a number, the Braille light will pronounce each digit, like 2,000. You'll probably want to set the Braille light most of the time to read in digit mode, since phone numbers and addresses, zip codes, and the like are easier to listen to as digits. If you keep numerical data, such as your money information for your bank account, in your Braille light, chances are you'll want the Braille light to pronounce full numbers to you when working with that kind of data. But of course, remember that you can always just look at the numbers with the Braille display and not even worry about how the voice may pronounce them. Yeah, 2.3, multiple voice settings. As you just pointed out, you might want to set the number announcement to digits most of the time, and only use the full numbers form of announcement when you're in a file that does not contain addresses and phone numbers. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do just that without having to go into the speech parameters menu every time you wanted to make this adjustment? Also, let's suppose you need punctuation announcement to be set to total punctuation for a certain file, say the file you're editing for a term paper. Then, for your calendar file, you want only some punctuation announced. And finally, for the files that you just listened to without proofreading, you prefer no punctuation to be announced at all, and numbers to be pronounced as full numbers. Now, you can create up to 5 different configurations of speech parameters or voices. The voices are numbered from 1 to 5, and voices 2 through 5 are retained even if you do a warm reset. In the case of a warm reset, only voice 1 settings are returned to our factory default. The only time all voice settings are lost is when you have to do a cold reset. For more information on cold and warm resets, see Appendix A. To set a voice to a particular configuration of speech parameters, first enter the speech parameters menu in the usual way by pressing an AR sign chord, .345 chord. When the Braille light says speech parameters, you can press .23 chord to move to the previous voice and .56 chord to move to the next voice. Once you're in a particular voice configuration, you can change speech parameters to anything you want that voice to have. And press an E chord to exit the speech parameters menu. This voice setting stays in effect until you change it to another voice configuration. In fact, your Braille light retains the current voice configuration the next time you turn on the unit. By the way, don't confuse the command to create voice configurations with the command to change the frequency of the Braille light voice. Both commands are issued from within the speech parameters menu, but the command to adjust frequency is just .23 to lower the frequency and .25 to raise it. The voice configuration command uses those same dots but corded. Let's take an example. First note that from the factory, the Braille light is set to voice 1. By now, you may have changed some features of this voice as you worked through earlier sections of this chapter. But just remember that this voice you are now hearing is voice 1. For purposes of this example, we'll establish voice 2 such that all punctuation is announced and key click is in effect. And to distinguish it from voice 1, let's raise its volume a couple of notches and speed it up a bit. Enter the speech parameters menu with an AR sign chord, .345 chord. Press .56 chord 1, and you should hear voice number 2. Now that you've selected this voice, you can change its speech parameters. Turn turn on total pulsation announcement with a key, and key click on where the 102 presses of the space bar until you hear key click on. Actually, you'll hear key space click space on. Since total pulsation is now on, press that 4 a couple of times to raise the volume, and 5 2 or 3 times to speed up the speech rate. As the distance parameters move with an import. From now on, this voice will be in effect until you choose another, even when you turn off your braille light and turn it on again. Note, if you do a warm reset, the braille light reverts to voice 1, but all other voice configurations are retained. However, a cold reset erases all voice configurations, and your braille light reverts to its factory default settings for all of them. See more on cold and warm resets in Appendix A. Once your various voice configurations are established, you can easily switch among them. From anywhere in your currently open file, press any Y chord, followed by a drop number from 1 to 5, and the voice switches instantly to your choice. You don't even have to press an E chord. If your currently open file is the help file, which is the file that is automatically opened the first time you start the braille light. While it can be useful to have all punctuation announced when you're proofreading, it can be quite annoying the rest of the time, because even spaces are announced, all of them. So let's return to voice 1. From your currently open file, press the Y chord. The braille light says, voice, and waits for you to enter a number from 1 to 5. Write the number 1 in drop number notation, of course. The braille light immediately responds with voice number 1, and that voice's volume, speech rate, pitch, and tone. And if you read something, you'll see that punctuation is set to however you had set it for voice 1, and that numbers are spoken however you set them, too. A really neat twist to the capability of switching voice configurations is that you can incorporate the command into a macro. Macros are commands that you can define to automate some functions you do repeatedly, and we talk about them at great length in Factory 11. For now, it's enough to say that you'll be able to create a macro that switches to voice 5, say, and opens your address file where voice 5 has been preset by you to speak numbers of digits. For now, just experiment with setting up 2 or 3 voice configurations and juggling among them until you're comfortable with the concept. There are several other speech options available from the menu, which we will walk through in section 15.5. They have more complicated uses, but the basic speech parameters outlined here will get you started using the braille light with the voices that sounds nicest to you.
Continue on track 2, track 4.